Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you want to make a podcast? Spotify's got a platform that lets you make one super easily. It's called Spotify for Podcasters. It lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Video podcasts are also available on Spotify. You know I love that. And I promise you, the other platforms don't offer that. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. And best of all, it's totally free with no catch. I've been using Spotify for Podcasters from the very start. I highly recommend you give it a try. Just don't post on Monday. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. Hey everyone, Gil Gross here post-match. Novak Djokovic versus Jannik Sinner, ATP Finals 2023 round robin. If you're not here for spoilers, click off the video in 3, 2, 1, although I don't think spoilers are an issue with how late I'm posting this. I was driving all day today, and the plan was that whichever match landed on this Tuesday afternoon, I wasn't going to cover. I could not do that. After this match, I could not do that to Jannik Sinner fans. I got caught up on this match, although I couldn't watch it because I was driving. And Jannik Sinner has secured his first ever victory against Novak Djokovic in one of the most high quality, dazzling three set matches of 2023. Sinner takes it in a third set tiebreak. This post US Open stretch of firsts continues. He had never beaten Medvedev. He's now beaten him twice in the last 2 months. Same thing for Djokovic, and this one just felt bigger. It's the ATP Finals. He's in Italy. And I got to say, before I get into the analysis of this one, and I don't normally do this or talk about this stuff, but just like how I felt watching this. You guys know I don't root for players, right? Not a fan of anybody. But there is no moment more rewarding in following this sport and covering this sport. These kinds of moments in these matches, it's the most the sport has to offer, in my opinion, which is a young guy who you've been following for a while, who has little by little by little improved and improved and improved. They have clearly put the work in. The dedication is next level. The ambition is next level. And you're seeing that slowly come together and the results of that starting to build up. And then you watch them really live out their dreams. And I know that this, you know, Sinner didn't just win a major, right? He didn't just win Wimbledon or something like that. But also, come on, it doesn't get much better than this. It's a packed arena, sold out, 15,000 fans going crazy. They're all behind him. He's in his home country. He's playing Novak Djokovic. You just have to feel so happy for Sinner. These are my favorite moments watching the sport is when young players achieve things like this after a lot of hard work that they put in. All right, where shall I begin? First, disclosures. Usually when I do post-match videos, post-match analysis, I have watched every single point of the match, and I have paid 100% attention to every single point in the match, 100 or as best I can. Not the case here, and I'm just going to disclose it. Watch the 20 minutes extended highlights. Watch each set then from 5-all, first, second, third. So some stuff has happened, obviously happened in this match that I missed, and I will account for everything that I saw. All right. This was some of the most autobiographical stuff I've ever seen against Novak Djokovic on a tennis court. Meaning, and I know there have been some guys who have had Djokovic-looking games, Djokovic-like styles. A lot of the stuff Sinner was doing here, I have not seen anybody do it that well other than Novak. The hard court sliding, the on-the-run play on this hard court was really incredible from Sinner. And look, all the young players slide on hard court now. It's a very common thing. But nobody has the strength and the body control and the technique to play the ball with speed and control when sliding on hard court as consistently as Novak. So, you know, there are plenty of players who are scrambling around and they're sliding in desperate situations and such. But I've never seen anybody make it look so routine and deliver the quality of ball on a consistent basis that Djokovic can when he slides on a hard court. Sinner was doing so much of that in this match, and it was hard not to notice when they were sharing the court with each other. And this is off of both wings. And I know the open stance sliding backhand gets a lot of attention because I would say it is kind of a couple of degrees of difficulty higher. But the forehand D from Sinner was probably the more impressive part for me in this particular match because I think Novak made a real concerted effort to hit his forehand, which is his biggest and fastest shot, hard into Sinner's forehand and to try to find and extract some errors by kind of just delivering intensity into Sinner's forehand wing, make him move that direction, make him absorb pace with that forehand. It didn't work. Like Sinner was protecting his forehand really, really well. And it gets to a point with Novak and Jannik with the sliding stuff and the movement where you're almost not even noticing it anymore because it's so routine. But it's special to have that skill and to be able to just routinely move out into the corners on a hard court and slide into your shots and play great trades and play great neutralizations on a regular basis. So that's the first thing. And that's the defensive part of this. But obviously the offensive part of this is another thing entirely. This, at times, from Sinner was pretty Wawrinka-like, pretty team-like, where you have a guy who's in the 99.9 percentile of power. And it's the case off of both sides, like Wawrinka and team. And they're able to deliver it with confidence and with relatively smart shot selection and intelligent targets. Sensible is actually the word I want to use. Sensible targets. They're able to deliver that 99.9 percentile of power in the biggest moments, which is what Jannik said he was most proud of himself. Immediately after the match, he was like, look, I was brave in the biggest moments. Yeah, he was. And a brave Jannik Sinner who isn't missing. We've talked about it all the time with his power. That's always going to be a problem. And that's always the thing that Sinner has had. We've talked a lot about his development. We've talked a lot about his improvements. Guess what hasn't really had to improve leaps and bounds? His power. That's what hasn't had to, because when he was 18 and he was skinny as a stick and he didn't move very well and his serve was a softball, he still hit the crap out of his ground strokes. That was the first thing you notice about Jannik Sinner. So obviously that's still there. And obviously, even at this stage, it's still looming large in a match like this even against Novak, who is going to defend and make extra balls better than anybody else, you know, him and Medvedev, right? But I was talking about how Sinner has always had the power. And then there's the stuff that he didn't always have.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's the stuff that is new and different, and it just comes down to how much you have to worry about, right? If you're defending against Sinner, you're Djokovic, what do I have to worry about? And the power is one thing. That's a problem in itself. But when you used to, there used to be a point in playing Jannik Sinner where there actually wasn't that many things you were worried about. Yeah, the one thing was a lot to handle and a lot to deal with, but there wasn't as much. Now, there are some other options because there are wrinkles. And the first thing is the backhand down the line, which to me has been a complete game changer for Jannik. The way it's opened up the court, the way it has made his backhand, which was already a shot that, you know, he was able to create really good ball speeds and pretty good RPMs for a two-handed backhand. That's what always stood out about Sinner's backhand was, you know, just the weight of shot, which, you know, was very almost one-hander-like, but Sinner has the two hands. So, okay, we have the stability. You know, the some of the advantages in terms of returning serve and staying compact and stable when defending, but you also have big weight of shot. Well, the one thing that wasn't really there was the timing and his willingness to take it down the line. He was kind of an 80% cross-court guy. You could sit on that a little bit. As good as his backhand was, you weren't all that nervous that he was going to take it down the line. That has completely changed. Sinner took 32% of his backhands down the line. Djokovic, who I don't need to tell you, changes direction on his backhand as well as anybody ever, 30%. So Sinner did it more than Novak. Again, damage creation. Obviously, in the backhand-to-backhand rally, most guys are not recovering all the way to the middle, so it's usually the open court. If you're able to change direction there, there's more space. The ball travels less distance on the down the line, which means it goes by a player in a shorter amount of time. So, look, there's a reason why it's the more aggressive option. Obviously, it's also riskier, higher part of the net, less court to hit into. But I think one of the more subtle parts about it, because it's not groundbreaking that when you go down the line, you can create more damage as long as you make the ball. I think the more subtle part about it is it puts the rally onto his forehand. And that's what I saw more than anything in this match. Other than also some backhands from the middle of the court that Sinner almost hit inside out, that really stood out. But when Sinner goes down the line with his backhand, like I took a screenshot here at 5-all, 30-all, you know me, I like to grab big points. That's just me. They're in this kind of neutral cross-court backhand position where I swear a young Sinner just doesn't, he just goes cross here. Instead, he changes line. Now, Novak hit a good incoming ball. This isn't really an aggressive backhand down the line. Look how much this bleeds middle, right? So in a way, it's not a backhand line. It's a backhand middle. But the point is he didn't try to go back cross. He redirected. He changed to Novak's forehand. And like, yeah, this is how to get the rally back on your forehand. Because I guess Djokovic could take this backhand and hit it back inside out. But man, that's the tougher shot to pull off, especially when Sinner gets good depth and good speed on this backhand middle. So yeah, Djokovic goes to the much more predictable directional. And then Sinner can step over to his right and really use his nuclear weapon, which is his forehand. The backhand will never be as big as his forehand. And it'll never be close. So of course he wants to rally on his forehand. And he blew this ball by Novak. It was as clean a winner as you'll see on this forehand down the line. And if he went back cross court with the backhand, the rally would have stayed probably on Sinner's backhand. So you have to worry about the backhand down the line now. You also have to worry about the forehand drop shot now, which just was not a thing for him on a regular basis in the past. We've seen it all year. He's worked on it very hard. And, when your forehand's that big, the drop shot becomes such a great weapon to have in your arsenal to mix it up. I'm going to talk a lot about Sinner here, obviously, because he ended up winning the match and it's the biggest win of his career. But I do want to make sure that I just cover the bases on Djokovic. Look, this was a good performance. He served well, and the way he hit his forehand reminded me of Australia. He was really laying into it. I just think realizing how great a level Sinner was playing, trying to make him defend, trying to impose his will a little bit in this match. So I thought, you know, that part was great. And I feel like he's just going to have a lot of respect or will just have a lot of respect for the level that Jannik played. And in such a close match, frankly, it's just going to be a couple moments maybe where Djokovic made some uncharacteristic unforced errors. And maybe he'll regret those moments. But there's really not much that Djokovic did wrong. I want to throw some stats out here. Just some stats that I found interesting that I think tell some stories and give some insight into what happened in the match. First stat, total points were tied. So it was really close, right? Rallies mattered. Djokovic won the 0-4 shot rallies 73-64. That's a 9-shot advantage for Novak. Sinner won the 5+ rallies 43-36. That's a 7-point advantage. For those of you who are paying really close attention, you're going to say, Gil, I thought total points were tied. So why is it Novak +9 and Sinner +7? That doesn't add up. There are 2 points that Infosys tracking did not count. So we don't know. We know that Sinner won those 2 points, but we don't know how long the rally was. All right. So this is also in line with Tennis Insights shot ratings. Djokovic scored higher on serve and return. So it would make sense that he did better in 0-4. Sinner scored higher on forehand and backhand. So it would make sense that he was better in the 5+ shot rallies. Backhand damage. This is from Infosys. This is on regular ground strokes. Approach shots don't count. Drop shots don't count. Volleys don't count. Just on backhand ground strokes, Sinner with 8 finishes, Djokovic with 4. So doubled him up on damage. Sinner down the line, higher percentage of his shots than Djokovic. I mentioned the backhand. Same thing was true for the forehand. More down the line shots by Sinner compared to Djokovic. First serves in. This is a stat that I had my eye on coming into this ATP Finals because Sinner has been so exceptional. 60% first serves in. That's his season average. So all of October, Jannik had been over 70%. And I was thinking, is he going to keep doing this? Because that's a super high number. The numbers that he was obtaining, it seemed like unsustainable, right? So what you may have just heard as a negative stat for Sinner is actually not. In my book, it's a positive stat for Sinner because it shows me that he can get a big win like this without redlining on the first serve or making a higher percentage of first serves than would be typical for him. And I'm going to finish just by going over some big moments. Then we'll wrap up. All right. First set. Djokovic was 2 points away from winning it at 4-5, 15-30. He made back-to-back unforced errors and Sinner hit a service winner. And that made it 5-all. That was a moment for Novak. You can look back at that missed opportunity, especially because in the next game, 5-all, Novak goes up 40-love. From there, Novak serves and volleys. Sinner cranks a return. Super, super fast return. Djokovic lets it whiz by, and it catches the back of the baseline. Novak could have volleyed it, but again, the return was going like 90 miles per hour. 40-15, poor backhand approach by Djokovic. Sinner connects on the forehand pass. Now it's 40-30. Awesome inside-out forehand by Sinner. Sets up a forehand drive volley winner. It's deuce. Djokovic double faults at deuce. On add-out, Sinner anticipates a T-serve, puts his forehand inside-out right into the corner on the return. Then on the next ball, steps into a backhand, rockets it cross-court. Massive speed, beautiful placement, forces the error. Literally unplayable by Sinner on this break point. Second set. Sinner holds it love to win the first set, 7-5. Second set. This goes to a tiebreak. There's some stuff that I could talk about leading up to the tiebreak. I'm not going to. Look, down the stretch, and it was a close tiebreak and ended up being 7-5 Novak. This was the part of the match where you really can't say that Sinner found the clutch first serves. Novak did. So Djokovic had a couple of freebies here, whether it be service winners or serve easy, you know, serve plus one winners. And Sinner also made two unforced errors, one at 3-all, one at 4-5. So between the first serve being better by Novak and Sinner making the neutral baseline errors at the end of the tiebreak, that was just enough. That was what Novak needed to come through this second set tiebreak. Third set, it goes to a tiebreak. First point, Sinner, 107 mile per hour second serve into Djokovic's forehand. Novak hit the return into the tape. One love Sinner. Absurdly good full stretch forehand return. It came off his racket so hard, even though he was stretched out, inside out, got good width, and it was just it had the looks of a defensive return, but it was an offensive return. It was both, because basically what he did was send back a good first serve and just forced an error with just a brilliant return of serve by Sinner on the second point of the tiebreak. All right, two love now. Djokovic serve plus backhand down the line approach. So first ball, backhand down the line approach. Low quality approach shot here. Sinner, forehand pass, cross court, makes no mistake. Look, you know, again, not a good approach shot, but also Sinner was still under pressure here and had to make a pass, and he did it. Now it's three love. Baseline rally. Sinner with a terrific combination on his forehand. Cross court, short angle, down the line, forces the error. Four love, Sinner hits a service winner wide on a wide serve. That was on the deuce side. I thought that was returnable. I think Novak should have made that return. Five love was the first point that Djokovic won. It was really the start of the tiebreak. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Because the worst thing Djokovic did, like the worst thing he was guilty of, was missing an 107 mile per hour second serve return and hitting a weak approach shot. And man, you could do worse. Like, that's hardly egregious. He did not make an unforced error. And Sinner was remarkable. Remarkable at two love. Remarkable at three love. The first point was a really good second serve. Made a first serve at four love. I mean, it was just so good. It was so good. So I think I'll leave it at that. Still not decided what's going to happen in the green group. Tsitsipas withdrew. There's a lot of crazy scenarios. Not going to explain it right now, and I still need to absorb it myself. But basically, it's all up in the air. But Sinner, 2-0, he's in a great position. And Djokovic will go up against Hurkacz in his next match instead of Tsitsipas. Hope you enjoyed. Don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.